I got Eric Jamal Whitehead on the show tonight. We're going to discuss quite a few topics in different sports. He's going to give us a lot of, you know, pros and cons of the games of the individual sports. So the first answer I'm going to ask him, the first question I'm going to ask him is that, you know, will James Harden become the best scorer ever? I had somebody come on this show a while back and tell me he's the best isolation ball player ever.
Yeah, you see it right now. He scores in a multitude of ways. He can pull out his euro step. Of course, we all know he's patenting that. His step back off the three or the mid-range is really indefensible. He does a lot of different things well, very well, as far as putting the ball in the cup. I don't know. It's so many talented players that's coming into the league. As you see, scoring evolves from each generation that comes into the league. You have prolific scorers, like I said, Pistol Pete Maravich, prolific scorers in the game like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Skyhook, indefensible scoring methods that allow them to be unstoppable. And it goes on and on. Carmelo, when he first hit the league, he could put the ball in the cup so many different ways. You got players like Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons. You know, you got these guys that are very talented. As the game evolves, you're gonna see even more players who can score even effortlessly. Like I said, Donovan Mitchell sticks out of my mind. But as it stands right now, absolutely, James Harden is unflappable when it comes to scoring the basketball. He puts the ball in the cup so many different ways. He's leading the league. Well, he's second behind LeBron James in scoring right now, right at 31 points a game. He led the league in scoring throughout the regular season. He scores the ball. That's what he does. He comes off screens. He handles the ball in isolation. So that's the thing. He can score coming off screens, too. That's the beautiful thing about him and Chris Paul playing right. That backcourt together.
Right.
Both of them are interchangeable as far as who can handle that basketball. So he's coming off screens, too, now. Catching, dribble driving, catching and shooting. I mean, he is. Right now, as it stands at the moment, he's the most prolific offensive scorer, in my opinion. I have to agree with that because you see it. His point totals, his ability to score the ball from literally every spot in half court, you know. So they're going to be a tough out. Like, Golden right. State, in my opinion, they're going to get past Utah in about 5 to 6 games. But When Golden State goes up against them, they're going to have their hands full stopping this man from scoring. Absolutely.
That's why I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions dealing with, you know, what's on my mind, to ask you what's on your mind about.
Absolutely.
It. Here's another one. Since we're talking about the Houston Rockets,
right,
we're going to talk about the signing they got this year. Chris Paul. North Carolina zone.
Yeah.
Do you think Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford can last for 5 more years the way their teams, you know, Minnesota okay. was young, but I think Jamal Crawford is a free agent.
Yes, he is. He declined that option
right.
from Minnesota, and he elected to be a free agent. Chris Paul is 38. I'm not Chris Paul, but we're talking about Jamal Crawford. Sorry.
Right.
Jamal Crawford right now is currently 38 years old, 37 to 38 years old, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken.
Right.
The level he's playing at right now, I'll give him 2 years.
Shoot.
Now, he probably shake off another year or two, come to a realization that he can't do it on that level anymore. He's done. So I'm giving him 2 to 3 years, not 5. Chris Paul, however, right. 32 years old. I see him playing until he's 37. The optimal level that he's playing at now, another 2-3 years, I say. Those last couple years spent in his twilight ages, I don't think he is going to have that output for 5 years. Let's give him 2 years, 3 years with that same output that he's playing with now, that same productivity that he's playing with now into his career. He'll maintain that until he's 35, 36, I believe. But you're talking about another 2 more years. I don't see that happening, especially for either player, man.
With the elite players in the league right now, the elite players, you know, we ain't even going to discuss it.
Yeah, we know.
Who is the best overall player in the NBA?
I'm a Kobe fan, man, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm about the X's and O's. I'm about numbers. I'm about factual statements. I will never allow my fanhood or my fandom to replace my, you know, intellectual thought when it comes to sports. Mm-hmm. Because the facts is what reigns dominant. That's what is more supreme, the facts.
Right.
The facts are that LeBron James is averaging 34 points. 8 points a game, 34.3 points a game, 9.9 rebounds, which is 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. That's basically triple-double he's been averaging in the playoffs. Now, mind you, this team that LeBron plays on now isn't as talented as his previous teams. Hands down, I'm sorry, it's not. Look what's around him. These are pretty talented guys.
Right.
Pretty decent guys. They get the job done. Got some decent scores, decent role players. But nowhere nearly as talented as a team he's had in the past, in my estimation. He's doing a lot, man. He's doing it all.
Right.
He single-handedly beat Toronto these last two games by himself. I think that's pretty clear. Right. Yeah, he has some little help. But he's averaged 42 points a game over these last two games against these guys.
That's a lot of points.
He's scored 43 last night.
Right.
Correct. Now, mind you, he's averaging 41.4 points a game in the playoff. I mean, 41.4 minutes a game.
Right.
The closest player to that is James Harden, and he's averaging about 38 points a game.
Right.
I mean, minutes a game.
Right.
No one's playing more than him, which is LeBron. LeBron James is not coming off the court, man. Also, he's 33 years old. The closest superstar in his category is 29. That's the closest age to him. He's 4 years older than the closest superstar to him. He's been playing basketball consistently for 15 years, year in and year out, going on long playoff runs for the last, I say, 14 years out of his 15-year career. So, with that being said, what he's doing right now is really, it's really astronomical. It's really, right. It's unbelievable.
Right.
He's 33, but in basketball years, he's about 37 because he didn't play college ball, correct?
Right.
He's continuing this pace deep into his career at 33 years old in his 15th season, scoring more points than anybody, top two in rebounds, top three in assists, number one in minutes played, with the closest person to him about 4 minutes under him a game. That says it all.
Right.
It says it all to me. So, you're talking about best overall player who affects a game, whose imprint is in a game the most, is LeBron. And I'm going to keep it real. I used to back LeBron a lot. But when he's playing right, he's channeled. He's locked in.
Right.
It reminds me a lot of 08-09 when Kobe went on his playoff run. He went 3 straight finals, right?
Right.
With a not-so-great team. All he really had was power. A decent role player in Lamar Odom and a couple more little role players here.
Right.
So it's very similar to him when Kobe was in that era in 09. Very similar to when Michael Jordan came back for the second three-peat. Around the same age, same type of teams around him. What he's doing is phenomenal right now, and I can't front.
On Raw Mind Sports, we got a few more NBA topics I want to discuss here. Do you think Houston will be able to sustain this type of level for the next few years?
If they can improve their roster, absolutely. And I have a good roster. They have a Capella. You know, they got Paul. James Harden. They have a couple other great role players. Trevor Ariza has been there. Players like Trevor Ariza have been there for a while. You might can upgrade a guy like him, right? Yeah. You might can upgrade a couple guys that's coming off the bench to make your team more formidable. Pull a guy from Warriors. Pull a guy from here or from there and make your team stronger. As they are right now, yeah, maybe so, but I don't see them sustaining this type of level of play. Unless they, you know, switch out a couple people here and there to make their team better, to switch out the look of their team, in other words.
All right, I have another one. This will probably be a very interesting question. Do you see the Wolves being a team to win future multiple championships? Just random questions.
To the Wolves, they are definitely a promising team of the future. They have some of the best guys that's 25 and under on your roster. With a guy like Rick Rubio coming through, a couple guys like Jimmy Butler, I definitely see these guys competing. But they need a player or two in the fold that can make them better. If they only had a player or two that can make them better, particularly in the front court.
Right.
You know, if they can score a Trey like a Boobie Cousins. I know we probably gonna touch on that later.
Yeah.
If they can score a guy like Boobie Cousins, that would be Oh, God. Because the landscape of the NBA now, you need a couple superstars on your team. You need a couple. That's how it is now. It's just what it is now.
Right, right.
You need a couple guys on your team. You need a superstar, a couple superstars on your team to really give you that push.
Right.
Jimmy Butler's a superstar. Cat's on the way. He's still young, though.
Right.
They need a real proven veteran to kind of get them over the hump, in my opinion.
Speaking of veterans, since you just went to that topic, Raw Mind Sports. I'm about to go and get to the chase pretty much. Dirk Nowitzki, do you think it's time for him? Do you think it's time for the Dallas Mavericks to make some moves? Or you think it's time for them to say, Dirk, it's over, hang it up?
That's a good question, man. Yes, it's about time for Dirk to let it go, man, honestly. But it's important that the team allows him to do it on his terms.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought so much to that franchise.
Right.
He's allowed that franchise, honestly, to be so relevant over the last 10 years. He's always been the catalyst. He's always been the guy that the franchise built around the last 10 years.
Right.
And what did they get them? A championship that they wouldn't have had without him, in my opinion.
Right, right.
He hit the biggest clutch shots in that series, without a doubt, against Miami. He made the most plays. He made the biggest shots in that series. They would not have beat LeBron James and that cast of players without Dirk Nowitzki. He brought that championship to that city. He deserves the respect of leaving on his terms. So that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, he has that sweet lean hook shot, 7-1, 7-2. It's hard to stop.
Because at the end of the day, if he stays and they don't cut him and they allow him to stay and go through another season or two, he's not going to be in the way. Right? He's not going to make the team worse regardless. Because
right.
He's a wily-eyed veteran. He has a certain skill sets in place to allow him to keep scoring the ball. Yeah, he might. His stat. He's in the low teens. I mean, the high teens now. He's not averaging 21 points a game. But he's still going to give you 15 to 16 points a game a night. Okay? You put him in a game, monitor his minutes over the course of an 82-game season, he could be a catalyst for you. I would come. I would not just cut ties with him.
Right.
I'll let him leave on his own terms because of all he's done for that franchise, basically.
Right.
So it's kind of mixed.
Speaking of that, we're going to stay in the state of Texas. Do you think Greg Popovich, one of the best coaches in the NBA, style of play is going to last long in the NBA?
Well, the way he plays, that motion set offense that he runs, it's never going to go anywhere because it's been here forever. He's only added those modifications to make the offense even more potent. He's always had the right players. See, that's the advantage of a Popovich that I will say that he has is that he's always recognized talent. He always grabbed the right players that will acclimate to the system he runs. As long as he can do that, his system will always be formidable. You think about it. When the last time he not made the playoffs?
Yeah, this will be the first year that he might not win it, but he still end up going across.
Still made it.
Right.
That
finish line.
So as long as he has the proper players in his system, he will always be successful within the system.
You touched on Boogie Cousins earlier. What should the Pelicans do with Boogie Cousins after this ACL injury?
Honestly, what I would do, I would trade him mid-season next year before the deadline. Get him healthy. Hello. Get him on the court. Let these GMs know he ain't missed a beat. As soon as everybody get a whiff of that Boogie's back, ship him off. Because he is not coming back in his final year. He's done. He wants to move on. I believe that wholeheartedly. He's not going to stick around. He's going to ship. He's going to jump ship. I believe that personally. So allow him to come on back, get healthy. Before the trade deadline hit next year, trade him. Get you a first-round pick off of him from a team that would like to take him. Like, I guarantee Minnesota give up. They'll give up a great player in a first-round draft pick to acquire someone like Boogie Cousins. I guarantee it. Not only Minnesota, but a couple other teams. Houston. Houston's in the mix for that. A good team like Phoenix, who's going to have a high draft pick in 2019, 2020. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Deal this guy. New York, wherever. Chicago, Miami. Deal him. Some team. Once they get a whiff that Cousins is back in full strength after his ACL tear, they're going to be blowing that phone up. I guarantee it. Take one of those offers. Make your team better. Bring cash in. Bring draft picks in. Bring another play in. Whatever you have to do. Because you can make a team break the bank for Boogie Cousins. Improve your team. Use him to improve your team because he don't want to be there.
Speaking of breaking the bank, let's talk about the NBA salary cap. How do you feel? Do you think a lot of players been like overly paid or absolutely. Underpaid?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the sport has grown exponentially over the last 10 and 12 years, 15 years, basically since that class of 2003 came
right,
in.
Right.
That class of LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, we know the names.
Right.
Bosh and all the names that came in that class, they rejuvenated the NBA. They brought the NBA back to a prominent state. And since they've been in the league has been doing this. If you notice, luxury taxes, salary caps has steadily been increasing.
Right, right.
Every year. Because the amount of money that's been dumped into the league. These TV deals that's come over these local stations have been gargantuan. It's been earning the million. It's been earning the league over 1.5. The league over the last 15 years, the league has accumulated $1.5 billion in revenue. It has to go somewhere. It's just like baseball. You know, in baseball, for instance, players get the biggest contracts. You see what I'm saying? They get the biggest contracts. The most money is dumped into these sports. It's money. The money has to go somewhere. So you're going to max out a guy who ain't done much. That's just what it is because the money has to go somewhere. You have the money to spend.
Right.
Why not spend it? No, he hasn't done a lot. He ain't done, in my opinion, enough to go into that kind of contract. However, you have that money to spend. You want that piece. You want that player in your franchise. Go get him. You have it.
Another NBA topic. Will LeBron stay put in Cleveland?
That's a tough one, man. It's contingent on whether or not they win it all, honestly. They win it all. They get the job done. I see him staying, honestly. And it just depends on how it goes down. Like I said, which I don't see them winning it this year. I don't think they're strong enough to win it. Going up against the finals against a team like Houston or Golden State, I really don't see Cleveland winning it, man. As good as I talked about LeBron 5 minutes ago, I do not see him being a West Coast team. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm sorry. Those teams are overtly more talented than his team is.
I agree.
And now he's playing a team that's more talented than him now. He's up 2-0 now. I get that. But we're talking about Golden State or Houston. Another animal. This is another animal. It's another scoring animal. These teams play prolific defense on the perimeter, under the paint. They have shot blockers. Both teams. Both teams have rim protectors, have lockdown perimeter defenders. They match up very well against Cleveland, both teams. So I don't see them winning. With that being said, I see LeBron going to the West, right? Joining a super team in the West with a couple players, creating a super team, coming out of the West, going to the finals. Now you got a different ball game now. Now LeBron has an easier ticket to get those rings. If you come out of the West, going to the East, it's pretty much guaranteed you're going to win.
Right.
Check the record, East versus West, over the last some odd years in the finals. West is dominating.
Speaking of super teams, and you just came up with the idea of certain players going to certain teams.
Yeah.
With the early exit of OKC going out early against Utah, yeah. The young, hungry Utah, do you think PG is going to stay put in OKC?
Nope. He never looked like he belonged, man. Let's be honest.
I thought he did. You know, I felt like him and Westbrook could coexist.
Everybody
say that, like, Westbrook doesn't play
team-winning
basketball.
You saw that last game. Last game that they had against, I want to say, Utah, right?
You think he hindered Melo's game?
Huh?
You think Westbrook hindered Carmelo's game?
A little bit, absolutely. See, it's about where you go. It's about who you're playing with. It's about the system that you're in. You got three ball dominant guys who stay on the basketball.
Right.
And Carmelo and Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. and Paul George. It wasn't going to work, bro. Because
right.
You got three guys who only operate with the ball in their hand.
Right.
Okay. It's not like Houston with Chris Paul and James Harden. Two ball dominant guys, but both can play off the ball. It's a different story.
Right.
Because honestly, you know, Chris Carmelo Anthony cannot play. He's not a good off-the-ball player. He's mm-hmm. not. He's not a good guy that can catch and shoot. He has to have the ball in his hands to create his own shot. That's the strength of his game. He's always been great at that.
Right.
But you got Westbrook that's going to dominate that ball. So right. Nothing nobody can do about it. It was a good experiment. It was good to see. But as we all saw, it added up to nothing.
One of the most intriguing. All right. With one of the most intriguing franchise players in the game. Not maybe the top, maybe not the best, but with all these situations going on with the Spurs, do you feel like Kawhi will be a Spur next year?
I don't, because it's so messy. It's a messy situation. A lot of people from his camp, they really put a lot of bad things out there about his relationship with Spurs, with Pop. I think so much damage has been done that's going to be hard to repair. I think it's irreparable damage done there, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you got a player that's kind of just, that's not with the program, that's kind of tuned out, if you will, because that's kind of been what it is.
Right.
He's kind of not been within the fabric of the Spurs. You never really heard anything like this come out of Spurs camp.
Right.
Ever. A player being just kind of disgruntled or misplaced. What have you. So with that being said, I think they cut ties with him. They trade him. They get something off of him. Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's pretty much set in stone. He's not coming back after his last year in his deal. So get something off of him.
Right.
And that's a smart franchise. Spurs have been successful as they've been on these last 15, 20 years by being stupid. They right. always made the correct decisions. They always brought in the right players, you know. So with that being said, I think they're going to cut their ties with Kawhi, get something off of him that'll help them for the future.
The most interesting topic here, I feel that's kind of going to be pretty comfortable, is that do you eventually see Golden State breaking up and play or players sacrificing just for the team, meaning they're going to take pay cuts for the team?
If you look at Quinn Cook's latest deal, that should tell you a lot. I'm a Carolina fan. That's what we stopped.
Rivals.
If you look at Quinn Cook's deal that he's just recently received, that's going to explain to you a lot as far as the changes that's going to be made in Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to always seek these players like KD. They're not going to be quick to hold on to certain guys that they have in their system that wants a high price tag.
Mm-hmm.
I see them being more willing to let these guys go
mm-hmm.
because they've been doing a great job of bringing in certain players.
Right.
Quinn Cook is a great example of that, how he stepped in for Steph Curry, got the job done, and got him a good contract. After leaving the G League. So with that being said, I don't see them kind of holding it together with this big old nucleus of great players. I see them drafting, picking up certain free agents, and keeping their franchise running that way. Okay? So with that being said, you know, don't be surprised if you see a Klay Thompson go to some team so he can be the man in a year or two. Don't be surprised, because it definitely can happen. Absolutely.
On to the NFL topics here. You know, I'm pretty much sure that he's going to be ready for this topic.
Waiting on that, baby.
Start with this question. What's on your mind when it comes to if the Patriots don't get back to the AFC Championship or possibly even further, the Super Bowl?
Right.
Who is your AFC team to beat them?
Man, I got a couple wild card teams. It's kind of early to call.
Right.
You know, rosters haven't completely shaped up. Injuries haven't set in yet. We haven't heard any squeakings from training camps or really before that, mini camps. But if I could pick a couple dark horses in the AFC that can rise up, Jacksonville, don't sleep on Jacksonville. I think they can easily pick up where they left off at last mm-hmm. year. Let's go enter division. As far as a team that can really give them some issues, Buffalo and Miami. Not that they're going to win the division. I think
right.
they got the division sewn up, but you got a couple teams that might give them an issue within that division. But as far as teams that could replace them, like I said, Jacksonville is a good team. Houston, Texans is a very good team you might want to watch. I like what John Gruden is doing out in Oakland. They took a little step back this past year, but look for them to be recharged and step up too. Now, the AFC North is the AFC South is chock full of great player, great teams that are on the up and up, young teams. They're expecting Andrew Luck to come back.
Right.
We saw how close Jacksonville got. And don't expect them to drop off at all. Tennessee's gotten better. Okay? So with that being said, expect some, you know, in Houston. I already named Houston.
Right.
Houston's one of my teams. I expect to actually take it there that could actually beat New England if it came down to it. And, of course, let's not forget the Pittsburgh Steelers. They aren't going anywhere.
Pittsburgh Steelers not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
I was
going
to say the same. They said something about them and the Patriots. Like, they just can't be. They can't be the Patriots. They play too much zone defense.
That's true. The offensive line has really been keeping Big Ben clean and healthy the last couple of years, and that's a critical factor. Le'Veon Bell, they got him on the franchise tag. Antonio Brown, they got a couple of weapons, man. And as long as they're together intact, my only concern is they switched to their offensive coordinator. They got a different offensive coordinator in there. Let's see how that style of play affects them offensively. Other than that, I don't expect them to go anywhere. So anybody that can unseat the Patriots would be Patriots, in my opinion, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Houston Texans.
Right.
A lot of times they've been the Oilers.
Right.
Or the Jacksonville Jaguars, absolutely.
I got another interesting question. People always talk about it all the time. Even though, you know, Tom Brady has all these rings, who would be your quarterback? Tom Terrific or A-Rod Rodgers?
If I say anything other than Tom, I'll be hypocritical.
What?
Because while Kobe was in the league doing his thing, I always defended Kobe because he had the Hall. He had the treasury already in place. And he continued to play on that level. Tom Brady's no different, man. For a guy to be 40 in his 40s to play at the level that he plays at, to constantly be in the AFC Championship, constantly in round Super Bowls, bro. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How can I say anybody else? I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to last till he's 40, bro. Okay? I ain't seen too many players in sports, period, with the kind of heart of a Tom Brady. We're talking Tiger Woods, right? Wayne Gretzky. You know, Cal Ripken Jr., A-Rod. Players with immense hearts. And Michael Jordan, right? Players who have such a competitive edge in them that it keeps them up at night. You know? Guys who don't stop working on that craft. Guys like Kobe Bryant, right? Guys who continue to work on that craft, continue to get better, who have such a competitive nature in them that it's hard to beat these guys. They sleep, eat, and you know what? Win. And it's hard to beat guys like that, man. Just being honest.
Right now, another question. Who'll be your the NFL's MVP of next year?
Off the top?
Everything is
wrong. Now, despite everything I said, early prediction rounds off the gate, to despite what I said, if I had to come off the top right now, I would say Aaron Rodgers, or I would say Ezekiel Elliott.
Sheesh.
Those are the two of the guys to me that means the absolute most to their teams. When they're not playing, their teams look catastrophically different. We saw it last year. Soon as Zeke went out, what did the Cowboys do? They literally lost 3 straight games in a row. Threw that season off the track because of this guy. Just one guy. Yeah, we lost Tyron and Sean Lee too. But with Ezekiel Elliott, he masked the way he runs the football, his vision, the way he runs the football so aggressively, his instincts. He masked a lot of the deficiencies of our offensive line. Okay? He hides a lot of the deficiencies, the way he runs the ball. He bails out his offensive line a lot with the way he runs the football. When you don't have him, it looks way differently. So, between him and Aaron Rodgers, you know, Green Bay Packers makes the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers don't get hurt. Cowboys makes the playoffs if Ezekiel Elliott don't get suspended. That's without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
That's not even really arguable to me. You think about it. The last game before he left, before he got suspended, was against the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs was the hottest team in the NFL.
Right.
And Ezekiel Elliott alone dismantled him. Okay? The very next game against a lesser team, which was Atlanta Falcons, we gave him 8 sacks. Think about it.
Random question. Wild card question. Best wide receiver that you would choose to, be your number one pick.
Right now?
Right now, I'm about to go and give it to you. But I got two. that comes to mind. Julio Jones versus AB, Antonio Brown. Who will you go with?
I want AB, baby. I want AB. Let me just start by saying, over since 2012-2013 season, Antonio Brown has led the league in receptions or yards, or both, and or receptions or yards. Mm-hmm. He's led the league every single season since 2012-2013. Every year. It's always been Antonio Brown and this guy.
Right.
First it was Calvin Johnson. Then it was Dez Bryant. Then it was Julio Jones. It's not Julio Jones versus Dez or Dez versus versus Antonio. It's always Antonio Brown and the next guy that comes up that year. There's no more consistent route runner. No one works harder than him. No one runs better routes than him. No one is a more fierce competitor than this guy. And mind you, he's only 5'9", 5'10". Unlike his counterparts who are 6'2" or better.
Yeah.
A guy like Julio Jones, with his physical attributes, you should expect him to have the kind of numbers and production that he has. But you got a guy that's 5'10", 5'9", who plays 6'3", 6'4".
Right.
Who don't drop anything, who's always open, and is a constant leader in all statistical categories in the league.
So you say that. So you say he doesn't drop man. You feel like Julio drops a lot of passes?
Not saying that. Not saying that.
I know.
What I'm saying is, this guy is a constant professional. He never stopped working. He relentlessly works at his craft day in and day out. And it's just been a blessing to watch him play the last 5 years, in my opinion. He's a GOAT to me. He's the best. He ain't great all the time, but he's working on it.
I'm going to get in this take right here. With the situation dealing with Dez Bryant, your team, America's team, okay. Cowboys, now that Jason Witten has retired, what would the season be like without Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, with your defense not being so great?
Well, technically, defense had a great season last year. The offense couldn't get it together. When Ezekiel Elliott got out, the actual defense was averaging under 15 points a game allowed.
Right.
They had exceptional couple of bad games, of course. But even in those bad games, they played very good. The offense didn't contribute. With that being said, offensively, the Cowboys are going to look very different next year, which could work into their advantage. Every year, they're lining up with it. In line, or they're going to set them out, and they're going to let them run that Y route, that Y option route. You got Dez running his small route tree. You got rid of a couple other players like Ryan Switzer and a couple other guys. We're going to look different offensively. You're not going to be able to game plan for the Dallas Cowboys. You're not going to be able to game plan for them the same, because they're going to have to do different things now without Dez, without Witten. So this actually might be a good thing for them.
Right.
It comes down to the coaching staff being creative, calling the right plays, using the right type of plays that tailor to the players that they have, right? Calling the type of the offensive calls and stuff that brings out the best in the players on their team.
Right.
Bad mistake that they made last year was handing Dak Prescott's Tony Romo's playbook, because Dak Prescott is clearly not Tony Romo. He can't make those back shoulder throws like Romo did to Dez. He can't really deliver the ball in those tight windows. He's not going to anticipate throws. Dak's not going to anticipate throws like Romo did. And that rhythm-based time offense was based on that. So with that being said, we have to do different things. The offensive coordinators and the coaches are going to have to get creative to create different ways to score. Without these two critical pieces in their offense that they've had, since 2010?
Right.
So it's going to change now. And that's actually a good thing for the Cowboys. It's different looks. You can't game plan for them the same.
Right.
They're going to have to do things differently.
Another question. Going back to an NBA topic. My final question to you is, who's the better coach? But most people don't even say to you, between these two and career-wise. Even though statistics say that certain individual is better than the other individual. But in your mind, what's on your mind about it is, who's a better coach? Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich?
Well, I'm not saying it's because I'm a Lakers fan. Because I hated the Chicago Bulls. But I actually hate the Chicago Bulls. But with that being said, I mean, statistics support Jackson. Reality supports that it's Jackson. It's Jackson. Simply because, let's just put aside what they've done. And let's put what they've done against each other. Jackson's 4-1. 4-1 against Popovich head-to-head in the playoffs. That's something to be said about that. 18-8 overall. Clearly, one guy's done way more than the other. You got to look at it like this. One guy had consecutive three-peats. Well, not consecutive three-peats, but two separate three-peats with two different teams. One guy's never three-peated. One guy has 11 championships. One guy has 5. One guy's 229 and 104. One guy is 149 and 90. With that being said, this guy has almost as many wins as Popovich has coached overall. Let's get away from the numbers real quick. Let's get to the psychological part of it. Phil Jackson was great with the media in manipulating them to put out stories to motivate his team.
Raw mind sports moment.
It's more than the X's and O's. It's about how you handle these personalities in the locker room. Clearly, one thing that Popovich never been great at is dealing with his players. You know, relating to his players for the most part, and by motivating them to go out there and do it again. That's why they never repeated. Think about it. Phil Jackson had three-peats twice with two different teams. Despite having the bullseye on your back, despite not even having the best roster on your team, he still went out there and won games, won series. So with that being said, your coach is clearly better overall. Popovich is struggling right now. Man, don't get me wrong, Phil Jackson had struggles with people like Kobe Bryant and other players.
That's what I'm about to say. You feel like Pop still struggling with a franchise player like Kawhi in the lineup.
They're struggling right now. As far as that relationship.
If you put Kawhi in, true. But as in like Kawhi in the lineup outside the struggle that he was performing right now, would it change a different
lineup? Oh, yes. They'd be playing right now. They'd be in it right now. They'd be pushing for another NBA championship right now. He's a catalytic player that they need on that team to get them over the hump. He's not there. You cancel it, man. Cancel it.
So right now, your decision is Phil is the man.
Phil's a man, man. I mean, look at the number. The number supported, man. You know, head to head, like I said, he's 4-1, 18-8 overall. Okay, one guy's never repeated. The other guy's repeated. You know what I'm saying? Here's another stat. In game one, Phil Jackson is 48-0 in his game ones in his career. He's never lost a game. He's never lost a game. He's like this. When he's won game one, which he's 48-0, he's won a series every single time. Every time. In opposed to 27-4 by Pops. Okay, so, I mean, it speaks for itself, bro. It really does.
And my final take on Raw Mind Sports, you know, when it comes down to owners, owners pick the best situation for business and for wins.
Absolutely.
When it comes to, you know, coaching, the coaches pick what best fits their system.
Absolutely.
So when it comes down to individual players and, you know, when it comes to LeBron, these guys, you know, these guys are special, unique players. Like LeBron James is a very unique player. Whether people like him or not, he's unique.
He affects the game in a multitude of ways.
Right.
Okay? He dribbles, he passes, he scores.
Right.
And he does it consistently over a 42-minute span. He don't come out the game.
Right.
You have to be highly conditioned when you're 33 years old,
right,
to play on a level like that.
Right.
And it's very remarkable. It's very, very remarkable. I haven't seen anything like this since 09, 2010, right. Kobe Bryant, 1998, 97, Jordan. I mean, the comparisons are always in play, and it's worthy. It's worthy.
And on Raw Mind Sports, it's a business / whatever it takes to win type of thing. No matter what we're talking about, it's about whatever it takes to achieve the goal, the task at hand, is to win the championship.
It's about winning. We can go back to the dad situation. I've been looking at the documentary All or Nothing by the Cowboys. You see it, man. Dez, if you don't know Dez Bryant, the way he comes off, you're not gonna interpret it as being a passionate player.
Right.
You're gonna take it as a disgruntled employee. You have to know Dez to know that that's his passion speaking. But when it's constantly going, you constantly start fuse with coaches, players on your team, you know, you become expendable, especially when your productivity don't match.
Right.
Right? When your productivity doesn't match, you become expendable, man. It's a business.
Right.
Front office, coaches alike, right, gonna do what's best as they feel for their team. Do I feel like it's the best move getting rid of Dez, going back to that? No, I don't. I think they could have waited a year, but at the end of the day, they made a decision better for their team. And it might just pay off. We don't know.
With that being said, that's the end of my show at Raw Mind Sports. I appreciate Eric Jamal Whitehead coming on. He will be on quite a few more shows.
One more.
Let's see what he got to say. But he has one more thing.
One more thing. I just want to send a tribute out to Jason Witten. A consummate professional. He embodies what it takes to be a professional athlete, regardless of your sport. Man, we're talking about 1,152 catches, 12,448 yards, 68 touchdowns, 11-time Pro Bowler, 4 times All-Pro, 2012 Walter Payton Man of the Year. You talking about someone who gave it all they had? He did. From behalf of myself as a Cowboy fan and all Cowboy fans across the world, we want to thank you, Jason Witten. We really appreciate what he done. He helped so many players come along and cultivated their careers over the years. A 15-year career in the NFL, that ain't nothing to shake a stick at. So I just want to take time to honor him, commemorate him, show my appreciation for what he done for the franchise. And that's it. Raw Mind Sports, baby.
Raw Mind Sports. What's y'all favorite line for the Cowboys? What's their favorite slogan?
How about them Cowboys?
With that being said,
how about them?
That's it for our show. Tune in for our next episode. We're going to have a lot more. Raw Mind Sports, people.
Peace.